Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. I know you've been thinking, what do we need more than another preview episode? And I'm about to tell you, a preview episode about the ACC Coastal. Woo! Yay!
You have the reaction that people get when they are not competing for a new car on The Price is Right, when they're like, a dinette set! Be like, oh, it has
the dinette set. The dinette set is a real, that's a real belt looper, right?
Like
a pants drop, the opposite of a pants dropper, right? Like putting on a second belt.
It's a belt fastener. Have I ever told you about the worst showcase I've ever seen on The Price is Right?
No.
So it was this older woman. She got to go first, and then this like USC student, this girl who was going to USC, she got to go second. So first showcase is just like three European vacations, and you know they do it in the Price is Right style where they're like, and after you're done enjoying the City of Lights, you're off to Rome. And this woman's just like, yeah, hell, I'm old and I'm not gonna have this opportunity again. I'm bidding on that one. Which, why would you not? USC girl is definitely disappointed, but she hangs in there because, you know, hopefully package two will also be of use. Package two, and remember, she goes to college in Southern California. Package two contains the following things: a brass baby crib, a bunch of fake Hawaiian silk plants, and a snowmobile.
There are mountains nearby.
That's true.
Are babies nearby.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the babies can't get sick eating the fake Hawaiian silk plants.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem. Listen, lady, times are tough. Times are tough. At least they didn't send you to Rome, Georgia.
I'm pretty sure she's just like, yeah, I bid $75. I specifically don't want to win those prizes, please.
Is there some fascinating story wending out from this collection of objects that equals massive bartered wealth? Is this a barter challenge where they say, we'll give you a brass crib, some silk plants, and a snowmobile, and in 6 months come back and you better have a mansion?
MacGyver this shit, lady. Economic MacGyver.
This is the world's worst Fallout game. So supplies are silk plants.
So we're talking about the worst, most confusing collections of things, and yeah, here we are at the ACC Coastal. So
things nobody wants all that badly.
The ACC Coastal is definitely the
bad. That much money.
Yeah, it's the bad showcase on The Price is Right. Where you're like, oh,
yeah. Have you ever looked at what a mishmash of unrelated properties this really is?
Yeah, this is somebody who is not out in the Monopoly game, but is not doing great. UNC lost to Waterworks. God damn it.
I'm going to build hotels on Miami. Well,
well, Miami's in
first of all,
as usual.
Yeah, those are going to be repoed.
UNC's going to jail soon. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing for about 30 turns now.
Yep. And Duke, in true blue form, is either the richest or least rich of the schools, depending on your perspective.
Wake is saving up for a purple top.
Yeah. Yeah, Wake is, everybody just rolls over Wake. Wake is the property that you're like 18 turns in, you're like, wow, nobody owns Wake. Interesting.
Hey, I know that you know Monopoly is the most conflict, the opposite of averse.
Oh, if you want to make a kid cry, play Monopoly.
If you want to make an adult so furious they think about going to the trunk, they think about actually going to get a kitchen knife and put it at your shoulder.
Hey, you know the stress.
Not a chest, because it's not that serious.
You know
not
the stress
Uno.
Of managing money? What if we made that a game?
Wait, what if we could take the worst aspects of capitalism and then put family tension behind it? Right?
And what
you
if
we should have divorced Mom, pay me!
It would be really cool as if you were in debt to me. And it just kept spiraling.
Yeah, it's good.
My old man, and she flipped the table one time because of Monopoly.
Wow.
And refuses to play it to this day.
That's good.
My dad would do the thing where he would refuse to sim the game, right? No, you stay until you're finished. Monopoly. very poorly beta tested because it can last for days. It's like a cricket match. It could just go for days and days. And additionally, if you were completely broke, his version of mercy was to allow you to continue to spin around the board, but you couldn't do anything and you had to be bankrupt. And he would remind you every turn. He's like, well, you're bankrupt, so you can't do anything. But go ahead and roll the dice.
Go ahead. Enjoy life as a homeless person in this Monopoly world. There is no Salvation Army. I bought it and closed it.
Is he like nickel and diming you the whole way around? Like, okay, you'd need gas money to make that trip. which eating absolutely. Along the way?
If you hit free parking, guess who got it? He did.
I mean,
he was working for the company store.
He was garnishing your wages in Monopoly.
Yeah, basically.
That's a good lesson.
Going to college?
Not happening.
Yeah. No. Sorry, kid. You're stuck in Atlantic City. You're going to be selling pencils on the boardwalk.
We have some callers that we're going to intersperse in the show today, and I'm just warning everyone now because I don't know when and where they're going to happen. But we have three callers who all were gracious enough to leave us a voice message and explain why they listen to our podcast, even though they don't watch or really consume college football anywhere else. They also have predictions for three of the teams in this division, which honestly will probably not be vastly better or worse than ours.
Probably better.
Spencer, why don't you pick a team?
I'm going to just start with maybe my favorite team in the entire division. And man, I can feel you cringing loading up to this. Because otherwise, I think this is a despicable institution that should be leveled. But it's very hard to not like Duke for this reason, because Duke has David Cutcliffe, and for some reason David Cutcliffe does is win six games and be an annoying dick. But you have to really like watch them play. Watch Duke play in any given year. They're so well coached. They're so obviously outclassed in terms of the athlete on the field, and he's so mean. He is so mean. They call so many plays that are basically, you thought we were going left, but we're going right.
And you're like, it didn't work. But he's like, yeah, but you didn't know.
Yeah, and then the counter will be, thought we were going left, and we actually went left. And when it works, it's the most frustrating thing to watch. Like, if you're one of those guys who's like, man, that quarterback rolled out, and I didn't think he was going to roll out. And I thought he was going to roll out, but I said, no, I wasn't going to roll out. But he did. Like that old man cribbage kind of football. Yeah, that's Cutcliffe ball.
It's like
here.
Watching. It's like if a pretty good Madden player was playing you in real college football.
Exactly. Right. Like if they were like, okay, I'll just use basic stuff and beat you with like eight plays. That's what Duke does.
Can we play a quick game of who's older? I have David Cutcliffe and a collection of other things, and I want y'all to guess if he's older than these people and things.
I would love to play that.
All right. You ready? Pierce Brosnan. Yes. Who's older, Pierce Brosnan or David Cutcliffe?
Pierce Brosnan is 64.
Trick question.
Now, he is 64.
Yeah. Why do you know that?
I will say I know that because he was in a celebrity gossip item I read on the plane this morning.
Okay.
The celebrity gossip item was this, that he was on the beach, and later on he put on a shirt when he was on the beach.
Shit.
That was the whole thing.
Hot news.
Looks pretty good for 64. He looks better than David Cutcliffe, who is younger than Pierce Brosnan.
Correct.
Damn, you got scooped, Ryan.
Gino Auriemma, who's older?
It's hard because I think Gino's got some hair color supplementation going on.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Is that correct? I'm going to say Gino Auriemma is younger than David Cutcliffe.
Gino Auriemma is slightly older than David Cutcliffe.
Oh!
Reba McEntire. Who's older, Reba McEntire or Cut?
Well, she's ageless and immortal. So
right.
I guess that makes her older.
Yeah, right. Invalid. And I choose C.
Cutcliffe is older, but not a lot. Vladimir Putin. Who's older?
Oh, Cut's older than Putin. Come on, right?
Incorrect.
No!
Correct. And last one, Play-Doh. What's older, Play-Doh or David Cutcliffe?
Well,
what Play-Doh are we talking about?
Who could win at least five games with Play-Doh at quarterback is the real question.
That's true.
I'm going to say that Play-Doh is older than David Cutcliffe.
David Cutcliffe is older than Play-Doh.
Dang it.
Yeah. What's Duke going to do this year? I have no idea. I'll be honest. All my Duke prep went into that game. I can't tell you anything about Duke football. I don't even know what the schedule looks like. I rely entirely on y'all for that.
So the schedule is a little harder than usual. Like, Duke's schedule is usually pretty bland and boring. This year you're playing FSU, you're playing Northwestern, a good Northwestern, and you're playing some team named Baylor. Never heard of them. And it was a pretty young team last year, but nothing, you know, nothing really jumps out on the list of what's returning. I think it's a little harder schedule than usual, but otherwise, standard Cutcliffe Duke, probably.
Well, Daniel Jones at quarterback, you have to know one player, right? Let's know one player. Daniel Jones at quarterback, coming back, the first year starter last year. Did real well. Like, he almost had a 3,000-yard passing season, right? And you have to kind of, like, know those, notice those when they happen in the ACC, because quietly remember, the ACC ends up with really good quarterbacks. I mean, that was like when you talk about, and this is throughout the Coastal too, when you talk about, wow, like a resurgent ACC, they had good and experienced quarterbacks, including first rounder Mitch Trubisky.
Mitchell, ACC, you son of a bitch. Mitch died in that fire. Mitchell's the one who walked out.
That's right. And into a first round NFL contract. So make fun of Mitchell all you want. Mitchell's buying a pool. All right, for his mom.
My goal for this Duke team, looking at the schedule now, is to do the thing where you sandwich together a bad loss and a good win back-to-back. And I don't really care which order it is, because looking at it here, I'm thinking, like, you beat Miami, and everybody's like, oh, God, Duke just beat Miami. Like, we should take this Duke team seriously. That's bad for Mark Richt, et cetera, et cetera. And then turn around and lose to Virginia and be like, Duke! What are you doing? Or if you want, you know, beat Georgia Tech, be like, ooh, boy, that's a bad loss for Paul Johnson. Didn't need that. And then turn around and lose to Wake Forest. Duke, what are you doing, Duke? That's what I want.
Oh, boy, that's an even worse loss for Paul Johnson. Didn't need that.
Yeah, here's what I want out of Duke, by the way. I want them to be the most stressful team in the division, right? That's all I want out of them, because they have good receivers. They got the only returning quarterback in the division, by the way. The only one coming back who started every single game last year. But I want them to be the most stressful team in the division. So I think, yeah, standard Cutcliffe, if you're looking at the schedule, you have some potential for real, as you hope for, Ryan, real genuine chaos on this schedule, right? That stretch to finish is kind of rough. The second half of the season ain't fun at all, particularly because it starts with Florida State, Pitt, and Virginia Tech, three in a row. But if they can get through this, 6-6, bowl eligible, and make everyone sweat and win a couple of shootouts, yeah, like I will always watch Duke football, because Duke football is swaggy old man football played from the quarterback out.
So you will always watch Duke football, but you will never watch Illinois football. You are a man of confusing brain chemistry.
It's a system and it worked. That's all I got to say.
All right. So what's your record prediction?
6-6.
Jason?
I'm going to say they're going to be a 4-8 quality team, but somehow end up 6-6 because that's what Duke has done for the past 5 or 6 years. They just get two or three wins just added via compound interest, I guess. So I'll go with 5-7. Well, I'll split 4-8 and 6-6.
Remember, this is the team that, yeah, did manage to, like, play that Miami game, right? When you have close games and you manage to stay close through, like, good execution and management – sometimes you get zany endings to your games because they're close. So, yeah, I think I'll say 6-6.
Okay.
Hello, this is Jordan from North Dakota. I'm calling in response to the email for the full cast news only responders. for the three questions that I received. I'm going to respond. I listen to the Shutdown Fullcast because life is all about futile gestures. My irrational belief in college football is that the group of five will win something sometime, and that is important to someone. Again, futile gestures are important in life. And the most futile gesture of all will be the record of the 2017 Duke Blue Devils, which I believe will be 5-7, gaining them an APR bowl berth. Thank you very much.
Jason, next team.
Let's get the shit out of the way early. We've been leaning heavy on the really the star names. Let's knock out Virginia. Let's just get Virginia done right away.
Okay.
Okay. Did make good news here.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a coach.
Oh. Oh, that's what you have to say. Thank you.
He returned. Are we glad he returned for another year?
It's not bad.
They have a It's true. They have a Bronco.
Right.
Correct. They have a Bronco, and it's all going to be about my favorite thing, my favorite storyline to preview, which is rebuilding. Which means you can just kind of go next team.
They
really like what can you hope for with Virginia besides improvement of any sort?
Well, none of these games, I feel like, will really tell us anything about UVA or their opponents. Because, like, Virginia, Indiana, do you care about that game? Does that, like, mean anything in the larger, even in the medium scheme of things? UVA, UConn.
Not in the smallest scheme of things.
I mean, shit. Boise State could beat UVA, and we'll just be like, well, they need to schedule tougher opponents.
They need to start scheduling Power 5 opponents like, if they want to be taken seriously.
Like, Bronco Mendenhall is great, and hopefully he is putting meaningful change into this program, but it's not this year, right?
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. They were 2-10 last year, and it was one of those years that – do you want to know how Bronco Mendenhall described it to David Hale in December? It was a year of discovery. it could be a body in the woods. That's discovery.
Yeah, this is sort of how you explain like your business that went bankrupt. We learned a lot.
I think this means Bronco kissed a boy for the first time.
This was Bronco's rumspringa.
Yeah, this is his I went to Charlottesville and I experimented a bit with losing games.
Yeah, I mean,
10 of them.
For context, their defense was about on par with Syracuse's in yards per play allowed, and their offense was about on par with Wake Forest's. So imagine that Wonder Twin power. What if you could have the worst of Wake and the worst? Oh my God, just no.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So this year, I think UVA might have the country's most boring out of conference schedule.
Yes,
which that's something cool to hang your hat on.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That even if those games are close, we don't have to pay attention to them.
You got an FCS game. You've got the new boring Indiana. This isn't chaos Indiana anymore. This is defensive coordinator Indiana. You got UConn. Good God, you got UConn. And then you're going to go lose to Boise State. That is very boring non-conference schedule.
Yeah. I have no goal for Duke. None. I'm not going to pretend to make one up. Or for UVA, rather. UVA, do whatever you want.
No, just call him Duke.
Duvier. Duvet. That's what I'm calling you. Duke and Virginia, you are now one school, and you're called Duvet.
Listen, if the two of you conspired to produce Richard Spencer, you don't deserve your own names.
They lost their number one rusher. They have my favorite combination of rushers in terms of names. They have Daniel Hamm and a new running back named Jamari Peacock.
So we can run the Peacock Hamm formation?
The delicious Peacock, the Hamm Peacock. That's the most what delicious we, backfield.
That, of course, is what's served at the NBC Christmas party every year.
Don't tell John Madden about this.
I really wish I could do a Madden impression.
I think you're about to do Yoda, it sounded like.
Yeah, Mike, I'm about to do Mike Prada.
Same thing.
All right, so how many games are the Who's going to win this year?
I'll go five and seven.
Wait, 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 wait. No, Spencer, whatever you're saying is not important. 5 and 7. Which five?
Yeah, I think the defense will be way less terrible. Their defense was among the world's worst last year, and it returns, you know. I mean, yes, we always go through this, like, it's returning bad players. Well, that's better than not returning anyone. So I think the defense should be way less terrible. And I think part of this is the ACC Coastal rule. Nobody can be worse than 5 and 7.
Right. Everybody has to be in contention in the last 3 weeks of the season.
You're also going to do this. You're also going to come in and you're probably going to hit like that noon game sometime in November when an ACC team's just like taking this week off.
At Louisville.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Like that's one of those games. And you know what? They'll play hard. Dang it. And sometimes when you play hard, just the other team just makes a mistake and hustle makes. I'm spouting cliches. This is like a 4-8 team.
4-8, 5-7. And no.
4-8.
And no aspirational goal. Great.
Yep, one more thing. They don't have a kicker. Bad teams need kickers.
Let's,
they don't have one.
Let's talk about the U. Let's talk about the damn Miami Hurricanes. Weird year last year. 4 wins out the gate. Handled an Appalachian State team that you went to that game, Spencer, and I know we were like collectively looking at that being like, ooh, I don't know. Might be it had no trouble with App State whatsoever.
No, like much visibly much larger and more talented.
Right.
At every position.
Followed those 4 wins with 4 straight losses, including again blowing a fourth quarter lead against Florida State. Did that again. So that was fun. And threw garbage all over the field. So in some ways, the U is back. And then turned around and won their last 5 games of the year. They had no close wins. They did have 3 close losses. Virginia Tech was the only team that really kicked their ass last year. So on par, it feels like a pretty good year for Miami in a new leadership, right?
I mean, yeah. They looked a lot like a Mark Richt team. They did.
Well,
like
now it's depressing. Now you made it bad.
They did. Like they looked physically like more talented than most of the teams they played. They coughed up a couple of weird losses and overall looked like good but not great. And I mean, isn't that kind of it's kind of what you hired?
And
so
then,
yeah.
And then Brad Kye left, and where is he now? I'm not gonna tell you, but I am gonna look it up.
I know that one of the people on the depth chart to replace him, well down in the depth chart, but still there is redshirt junior Vincent Testaverde.
Brad Kye is a Detroit Lion, which means he is reunited with his former college coach. That's sweet. That's fun.
Oh, buddy. It is nice.
And what's fun is that, when Brad Kye entered the draft, just declared he was leaving early, didn't really shoot up draft boards, part of me was sort of like, man, did he fuck up? Brad Kye went in the 6th round of the NFL draft, and he signed a 4-year contract for $2.5 million. In NFL terms, that is not a lot of money. I would sign a contract with the Detroit Lions for 4 years and $2.5 million. Absolutely. Tomorrow. It wouldn't be a good long-term move for me, but you know what? That's $2.5 million. Fuck anybody who thinks Brad Kye left too early. That was brilliant.
I like wouldn't be a good move for me, implying it would be for them. Like, yeah, sure, they'd get a lot out of this deal, but I'd be screwed. So Miami returns, like, yeah, they got to replace a quarterback, and there isn't a clear great answer, but they returned basically everything else. They should be really good on defense. And the schedule is not bad at all, other than the annual FSU loss. I think if there's an answer at quarterback, it could be 10-2. If not, it could be 7-5. But I think I trust Mark Richt there to go to, we'll say 9-3.
I
like that, especially because they have a really strong D line. And remember what we said, that it's a really strong D line in a conference where nobody else really has a quarterback either. So I like that. I think they could win a lot of like 24-10 kind of games where they
That is Mark Richt as hell.
Yeah, definitely. Like, this is, I always thought that was one thing that he did pretty well at Georgia. If you put expectations on him, things went sideways. But if you kind of just chilled out, right, that they always kind of, you know, managed to trump it pretty well, right? So, I like him at nine and three. That's fine. The three losses to me that if you look on the schedule, the three losses seem to be that they would lose to anybody who had the ability to actually score. They'll lose to Florida State. I think that they'll probably end up losing either to like Syracuse or North Carolina, because those are both teams that they'll just score points. They're just going to. They might hand you the ball four or five times, but they're going to score points. And then maybe that last matchup at Pitt, that's a hard road game against a mean team. And a mean team that, like, you know, kind of matches up, like they look similar in a lot of ways. Well, so
plus you have to go from late November in Miami to late November in Pittsburgh outside. Yay.
Yeah, this is a real truth about Miami football. When you're like, man, they don't play well in the cold. No, man, they do not play well in the cold.
No. But why
would
you?
What is the date? What's the date of that trip to Pitt?
November 26th.
Okay, excellent. So that'll be a game where Miami is shirtless before kickoff. Like, we ain't scared of the snow flurries. No, this ain't shit.
I'm sorry.
Actually,
it's November 24th, so it'll be on short rest too. Hooray!
We ain't cold. We ain't sleepy. You get hit.
I'm very cold.
Like, oh my god!
I'm very cold. I want to go to sleep, please. My goal for Miami this year is expand your use of the smoke machine. Like, it's great to use when you come out of the tunnel to start the game, but why not every time you change every time special teams comes out, smoke machine. Offense takes the field, smoke machine. Time for the defense, smoke machine. Just, like, beat that shit into the ground. It'll be so intimidating, and they won't exactly, it'll take them a little while to figure out, like, wait, what are they lining up in? Shit, goddamn smoke machine beats us every time.
My goal for Miami this year, I need a fight in the Florida State game.
They do that. You mean a literal fight. I was going to say, like, no, they contend, but that's not what you meant.
No.
I mean a fight. No, okay. I mean like a pregame fight where somebody swings a helmet.
Right. Right. And we
Mark Richt says, oh, what a shame. I can't believe our student athletes did that. That's just...
And
sure,
and some feckless ACC ref is like, sideline warning! Sideline warning!
Nah, you get Ron Cherry. You get Ron Cherry out there to call that one.
He calls like pass interference in the middle of a fight.
Spencer, next team.
I'm going to go ahead and spin the wheel of the coastal, and we're going to talk about the bees, baby. Let's talk about the bees.
So we joke about Georgia Tech being like very boring and sort of a known quantity, but this is what they've done the last three seasons they played. They've been at least four games better or four games worse than the year before. Like, you can joke about the ACC's everybody 7-5. Georgia Tech says fuck that. They went from 7 wins to 11 wins. To 3 wins to 9 wins. This is a fucking roller coaster. It's amazing. And that's my only goal for them this year, is do the same thing. Win the national title or win 2 games. Either way, just like go hard in one direction.
It's binary, baby. That's all it is. 0 or 1. That's all you're getting out of check.
Yep.
You get chocolate or you get vanilla. It's how we program this UNIVAC.
Do you do twist? No, man, we don't do twist. Get the fuck out of here with that twist nonsense.
Do you guys run like, you know, Python or anything? No, nope, running this off pure like COBOL. That's how we program this machine.
Georgia Tech, well, they get to start the season with the opportunity to rack up, I think, their fourth. This would be their fourth straight win over an SEC opponent if they beat Tennessee.
Fourth different.
Because they beat last year, they beat Georgia. I think they beat Vanderbilt. And in the bowl game, they beat Kentucky, right?
Yep. So, and we support this, by the way, I think, as a group, because it would mean a loss for Butch Jones and a beginning of the great butchening.
Right. Plus then we can even more credibly say that Georgia Tech is the best team in the SEC East.
I've taken this one step further. I did preliminary bowl projections last week based mostly on Vegas win totals, and I made sure to line Georgia Tech up with Mizzou in Shreveport just to check off another on this box on this list.
Oh God, Florida will never schedule them, fortunately. So our safety remains.
Tech's schedule kind of sucks this year. You got to go at Miami, at Clemson. I wrote this down. It's got to be a typo. At UCF, is that right?
No, at UCF is correct.
That's a terrible idea.
What?
You're also going at you're going at Georgia. Granted, that game is at your stadium, but let's be honest, that's at Georgia.
Yeah,
you're also playing at Tennessee. Sure, that's in your hometown. That's at Tennessee.
That might have mostly Georgia fans too. Let's be real.
That's true.
They'll just show up. I hate y'all.
I hate everything about this. Not my president.
Yeah, it could be. You know what? But I don't think schedules matter to Georgia Tech. I don't think any of it matters. I think it's just, I was telling Spencer, they truly are the 20-sided die of college football, where it's just like, this year, critical hit. Next year, roll to two, baby. Look out. I ain't got any modifiers. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I could see something really dumb happen. Like, there could be so many moments for stupidity on the schedule. Like, they could just up and beat Pitt and North Carolina, and they could, like, beat a stunned Clemson team, and then just drop one to Virginia. Like, this is all on board, man. This is all coin flip. So I'm going to have them barely missing a bowl game because this schedule is murderous. And when you look at obvious wins, I really only see like four obvious wins on this schedule, and the rest are coin flips. They might win one or two of those. So 6-6, best case, 5-7. That's kind of how, to complete Ryan's pun, that is how they roll.
Damn. That was good work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like the first time we've done something well on this podcast. Good job.
That's one. I'll go 6-6 with just a gigantic upset somewhere. Like Georgia's rolling it in. Georgia's 11-0. Shit. Georgia's going down, bro. 6-6 and just destroy somebody's season.
Hi, this is Trade Trees. Just calling about why I listen to the podcast. It's something I've been doing for a while now. I've always read EDSBS back when I started actually watching college football. I stopped watching football a couple years ago, but I never left the site. It's just good entertainment, and we learned quite a bit, and it's fun. What do I rational believe about college football? That it should be abolished, at least the link between the school and the athletics. I don't know how irrational that is. And Georgia Tech's record. That's ACC, so 6-6? I don't know. All right. Anyway, thanks, guys. Bye.
Should we talk about Pitt?
Always.
Pitt, the most important team in last year's college football season, undebatably.
Yeah, should have been
Everyone
in the playoffs
agrees.
As we maintained.
You know, they're going to play Penn State again. So, hey, automatically get to impact potentially the Big Ten's representation in the college football playoff. That's fun. They don't get to play Clemson or Florida State this year, but they do play Oklahoma State, so they can fuck things up for the Big 12. Pitt is still in a position to let us make the ridiculous claim that they should be in the college football playoff, even if they only win seven games.
Say Pitt knocks the Big 10 out of the playoff. Oklahoma State wins the Big 12, but oops, you lost to Pitt. So now and Pitt wins the ACC, but has like four losses.
Right.
And just single-handedly, Pitt knocks three conferences out, and we end up with like Bama versus a bunch of Pac-12 teams.
That would be worth it just for the hand wringing of people being like, well, you know, we need to understand that Pitt scheduled hard and we respect them and blah blah blah. Also, I really don't want to watch Oregon in the playoff this year. Please God, don't make me watch that.
Television ratings are well. Who will?
I will tell you.
Next subject.
I will tell you one thing about Pitt. That is, when you talk about, okay, well, how can you roll this turtle over, right, in a game and put them in a real bad spot real quickly? You can pass on them. And here's the good news for Pitt. The air attack, not really going to be a strength in the Coastal. So they do have that sort of strength and weakness there, right? It doesn't – their weakness does not match up well against what the rest of the division is not going to be able to do. So that's cool because they were real bad in the secondary last year. So any improvement would be cool. Not that it's the most important thing. They also lost James Conner, and they have a good backfield to replace him. But, you know, that could matter. They are doing college football's hottest move, which is the transfer QB. They got Max Brown from USC coming in. Probably an upgrade. Maybe an upgrade to Nathan Peterman, but I say maybe, and Nathan Peterman was great last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Nathan Peterman kept his job last year, so like, I mean, it's an upgrade over the usual replacement, but I don't know if it's an upgrade over what they had.
It's a shitty metric, but Texas Tech gave up 316 passing yards a game last year. Pitt gave up 333.
Yeah, there was only one team that was worse, Arizona State. Again, everyone went to Arizona State, being wise people. Airmailed applications in because they know what's up.
Acceptance rate through the roof.
So, predictions for this season of Pittsburgh Panther football.
So you lost all your players that anybody had heard of except for your kick returner. That's great. But you're Pitt, so you're going at least 7-5. I'll say 7-5. Very tough schedule, but you're going to fuck up somebody's day, and you're going 7-5.
Spencer.
I'll go a little bit better. I think this is, you know, a team that they could manage up to 8-4. There's definitely four losses on the schedule when you look at it, particularly because their road schedule is nasty. It's not a fun road schedule in any respect. And I mean fun, too. Like, they don't get to go anywhere. Like, they get to go to Syracuse.
These are the coaches that Pitt faces in the first 3 weeks. Bo Pelini, James Franklin, Mike Gundy. Jason Kirk, am I correct in saying that this will be the first year that a coach can get thrown out of the game for talking shit and cursing and causing a ruckus?
Second year. Happened last year.
Right.
We were shocked, even with Muschamp back. Pelini tried. Right. Pelini came pretty damn close. Not to be stereotypical, but he literally did. Narduzzi versus that list.
Yeah, that's my goal.
You're going to want to watch Pitt games.
That's my goal for you, Pitt. Get one of those coaches thrown out of a game.
What if it's Narduzzi himself?
You know what? Take somebody with you.
Okay.
Be the dying giant squid dragging the ship, the SS James Franklin, down to the depths with you.
Pitt would take that. Pitt would definitely take that.
Spencer, I think we still have ACC Coastal teams to talk about.
Oh my God, we have so many ACC Coastal teams to talk about. I think we can do this quickly, though. I want to do Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Easy goal for Virginia Tech this year. Start a media campaign that the SEC wants you to join, but you're not interested. Flip the script on them.
I'm here to start it.
Boom.
Let's do it.
There it is. I've heard rumors.
I'm hearing talk.
See? Second source. There it is. That's good journalism right there.
I'll just say it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Virginia Tech.
That's my answer whenever confronted with that. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
That's a very you're on the radio answer. That's a you're on local talk radio in Arkansas or something. It's good.
I would point out that they like their quarterback, which is cool because, again, if you haven't updated your software since 2015, Virginia Tech now actually enjoys offense, and that's cool. Receiving core is not real thick at the moment in terms of talent, and they'll be able to run. They have a young quarterback, don't have much helping them out. And it's a I think, can we still just do the spackle this over by saying it's a Bud Foster defense?
Yeah,
I think that's fine. I think it's sort of like Cracker Barrel at this point, where you're like, it's not really gonna like get better or worse. It just is what it is, and you know what you're getting when you go there.
Oh, it's gonna fill you up.
It's gonna fill you up. You're gonna feel some regrets. You're gonna wonder how old that lunchbox really is and if it's been cleaned. But you're fine.
Occasionally it's gonna give up more territory. You're gonna give up more territory than you want.
I really want the lunchbox to like fall open one day and we're just like, oh, it's just full of gravy. Hot gravy.
It's gonna call you an ignoramus at some point, like it has on that little wooden tabletop game. If you leave three pegs on there, it says you're just plain dumb. Bud Foster will do that.
What are the three funniest things that could fall out of the lunch pail? I want to go around. You each get one.
Wow.
What are the three things that you like? We'll each give one. The three things that if they fell out of the Virginia Tech Bud Foster lunch pail, you would laugh hardest.
Bud Foster signed 8x10s from his secret acting career.
Jason?
Something Marcus Vick.
Marcus Vick's guns. All of Marcus Vick's guns.
I don't think they can. Let's go with Marcus Vick himself.
Okay. I'm going to go with the ferrets. Sure. If you open up the lunchbox and like
dead or alive,
three ferrets just ran out.
Okay, live ferrets.
you know,
he said,
if it was like
three ran out.
Right.
Yeah, they would be live for the moment. But once Bud got them home, dang it, those little rascals. His beloved pet ferrets that he's just been like his comfort animal that he's been carrying in the lunchbox.
Does Bud Foster eat live ferrets? I don't have to answer that question.
Although if they were dead, we could think of him as like a hardy trapper, right?
That's true.
That he's been, you know, hey, on the way, you know, I walk to work every single day down from the mountain. I just take a little bit along the way. No, you know, you got to hustle.
Bud Foster's been talking about the French and Indian War a lot lately. What's that about?
How's the schedule looking?
Well, they open with West Virginia. They get Clemson from the Atlantic. They have road games against East Carolina, sure. Boston College, Miami, and Virginia at the end of the year. It's, I guess, mixed baggy. It's very dependent on, like, is this a good West Virginia team the way every West Virginia fan thinks, or is Bill Connelly right? What does Clemson look like after losing Deshaun Watson? Is anybody else in the Coastal of any merit whatsoever? Is East Carolina the East Carolina that used to fuck your shit up, or are they just dead and gone? So, question mark?
So, ECU, that's got to be your toughest true road environment. What is second after that? Is it Virginia because, like, your own fans will be there and they have pretty high expectations?
Sure. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause... So, that's going to be a tough one to win at Virginia.
Yeah, I don't think the schedule looks – this doesn't look that bad. Like on the face of things, this looks extremely manageable. And if they can just do like if they can just bring along their new quarterback, yeah, I'm kind of bullish on them, especially in a division that just doesn't seem like it seems a little bit down. Can I go out there with 10-2?
Sure, I won't stop you.
I don't mind that at all. I'll go 9-3, but I agree that if I had to pick one team to win this division, I'd go with the Hokies. There's a lot to replace on offense, but it's like in really weird ways. Like the best runner was the quarterback, the best thrower was the fullback, you know, the best catcher was like a 7'24" tight end.
That's
like,
that's the Alton Brown. Like, that's the Alton Brown approach to things. He hates, you know, when you have a one use kitchen item. You want your can opener to also be a flamethrower. You need those. It's important. It doesn't matter if it's bad at its primary task, just as long as it has more than one thing.
I mean, that does sound pretty badass, and it sounds pretty useful in Blacksburg, having, like, you know, you can do some really good camping if you had a can opener flamethrower.
Absolutely.
But, like, transitioning a Frank Beamer offense to, like, a modern offense, like, yeah, there's going to be weird stuff like that, but I feel like they have fewer glaring issues than anybody else in the division.
My name's Joe. I'm answering the question for Shutdown Fullcast. Number one, why do you listen to Shutdown Fullcast? It's the perfect college football podcast for me because I barely care about college football, and you guys barely talk about college football. Number two, what irrational beliefs about college football do you have? I believe college football is stupid because it's dominated by the South, and I don't think anything should be dominated by the South unless it's racism or obesity. Number three, what will Virginia Tech's record be in 2017? Judging by your show last week, I feel like Virginia Tech is not that good of a team, so I'm going to say they're probably going to go like 6-10, something like that. I'm not sure how many games they play in college football, but that sounds about right. Peace out.
Let's finish it off with North Carolina.
I really am going to... I'm going to bet against North Carolina this year for one reason. I'm just going to take a game off of the potential win total because they lost a national title winning coach over the offseason. Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik, national title holding coach, decided to retire completely and leave the game of football. Which tells you maybe, I don't know, something about Gene Chizik, but a little something about the allure of the North Carolina job, that he did it for a while and then was like, I'm just going to quit. Just get out of this game.
If it helps, they do have a coach still on staff whose name is Gunter. G-U-N-T-E-R, as in more Gunt.
All the Gunt you can handle. He's delicious Gunter. UNC loses, man. UNC, this is a normal, like, the under Larry Fedora, they've basically been like the quiet air raid team, right? Like, we kind of sleep on what they are as an identity. They score a lot of points, they give up a lot of points, and that really worked well last year. See again, Mitchell. But they lose a lot on offense while returning a lot of stuff on defense. They need improvement because, man, they were awful against the run. They were deplorable. They were despicable against the run. And this year, that would be a serious issue if that trend continued, because it's going to be a lot of running. That's not going to be a real pass-friendly sort of area. So let's just go ahead and one, assume that this is kind of an out-of-character year for them because they're going to be inverted from the way they normally like to do things.
Yeah. UNC is always a fucking confusing team, too, because what I want Georgia Tech or what I want I think I said Duke to do this year, the alternate good and bad, that's what they do. That's what they did last year for sure. I mean, they beat a pretty good Georgia Tech team by 28 points, and then they turned around and lost to Duke. This was a team that beat Florida State in a big game on the road, and then lost to Virginia Tech by 31 points. Like, they are all things to all people. Stability is not their strongest suit within the season. I don't know that will change with... If the NFL is right, maybe the best quarterback in school history, leaving the team.
The best quarterback in the country, as determined by the National Football League. We did not realize at the time. We all swore it was Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson. We were all deeply incorrect. It was actually Mitchell Trubisky. Well, and now you've lost him, and you've lost one of the six best coaches in the country based on national titles.
And returner returner wide receiver Ryan Switzer. You also lose him from the return game, and he was massive.
The whole receiving corps. So you've lost your entire passing game.
And they open against Cal, a team still hurting from the loss of NFL superstar Jared Goff.
Two straight NFL quality quarterbacks for Cal. So that game is going to be. It'll look the same. No one will notice. No one's going to watch.
Yeah.
But UNC, the worry for the last two or three years has been the defense. Now you're replacing defensive coordinator. And on the schedule, Cal, Louisville, Old Dominion, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. UNC is going to be giving up some points again. I think, as far as record, I'll go all the way down to 5-7 on the record. Ooh. I think the over-under is 5, but I'll bump it all the way down.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like when you look at sure wins here, I think they can beat Cal. I think they can beat Western Carolina. I think they can beat UVA. And I think that they can beat Old Dominion. So that's 4 that we have for sure. And then you're just going to be kind of grab bagging here. I think that maybe some hustle can get you to 6-6. So I'm not going to be quite as pessimistic, but this feels like the most stereotypically ACC team in that they could be between 7-5 and 5-7, so I will just split them and land at 6-6.
Hi, Shutdown Fullcast. This is Dustin from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm one of the people who listens to the Shutdown Fullcast, despite not having any knowledge of college football. So I listen to the Shutdown Fullcast in kind of the same way as I listen to bad movie podcasts. Would I ever want to watch Transformers Dark of the Moon or an Illinois game myself, like of my own volition? No. But I will listen to funny people, you know, make fun of them and then form my own mental image of what both the movie and the football game probably look like. As for what irrational belief do I have about college football, I've always kind of viewed college sports in general as something that people who maybe watch too much sports do. Kind of like how I play too many video games, and you can probably tell that because I have 3 different MMOs installed in my computer. Sort of my basis for this is my dad, who watches pretty much every sport that's televised and was my first introduction to college football. He even watches NASCAR. As for what will North Carolina's record be in 2017, 8-4. Yep, I came up with that through simple math, just averaging their wins from the last 5 years. So I'm sure it will be just as accurate as that time I made a March Madness bracket, despite having never watched college basketball. So yeah, I hope you found those answers enlightening, or at the very least amusing. And keep up the good work, guys, and feel free to feed me disinformation occasionally just to keep me on my toes. Bye.
UNC, all I want is Larry Fedora to show off the gams. Show off the haunches. Like, we get it. He has abs, and he, you know, he does pull-downs. It's great. But, like, let's see leg day, Larry. Let's see some glutes. Let's see some calves. Let's show some love for those of us who are not just thick up top. That's all I care about. I'm very focused on UNC football in 2017, as you can tell.
Which coach has done the best job at remembering leg day?
Let's see. I'm gonna.
Oh, you know who it is? I know who it is. I know the answer. It's Whittingham. Kyle Whittingham's calves are the stuff of a legend. Look it up. There are actually serious newspaper reports about Kyle Whittingham's leg.
I was going to say Jimbo Fisher because I feel like he's the king of the mid-game stress squat. Like, yeah, oh, I'm just going to get real low. Just below 90. You know it.
You know, I just saw a picture of Kyle Whittingham's calves, and honestly, like, I'm going to need a moment. They're beautiful. Sculpted from only the finest Italian marble
and low alcohol beer.